And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. I am your host, Dr. Roy Morgan. The number here at the radio station is 903-586-5257. I came across the most fascinating short video on YouTube. And I can't remember the gentleman that did it, but to me, it's so intriguing. You know how it says in Psalms that the heavens declare the glory of God? Well, this is one of those categories. What he does is he takes a microscope and a clean glass slide, and on the slide he places a drop of wine. Now, I'm almost positive the wine that he used is like, I guess I'm going to call it a white wine. I'm not the wine expert, so try not to ask me too many questions about wine because I probably won't be able to answer except it's a fermentation process from grapes. Okay, that's about the end of it. But he puts a drop of the white wine on this glass slide and he gives it time to dry. And then under the microscope, and he videos it, but he shows what these crystals look like that form from drying wine. And see, to me, I find this topic so fascinating because almost anything that you could tell me that's found in nature, or let's just say even a man-made drug or a chemical, all of it will form a crystal once it dries. It's just so extremely fascinating to me. And if you saw this video that I'm telling you about on YouTube, about the dried wine crystals, you would say, that's amazing. I had no idea that was what was in wine. And of course, I really don't know what the crystals are called. I'm just telling you my observation. I haven't really pursued any further. And then he has a very, very young baby, and there's a tear that comes from the baby's eye, and he transfers the baby's tear to a glass slide, and it is literally the most fascinating crystal patterns just coming from the tear of a baby. It just makes me wonder. You know how a snowflake, it forms a crystalline structure, and it's so fascinating. Now, the part that really made me wonder, though, is he took cigarette smoke. And I think another one, there was nicotine. If I'm not mistaken, nicotine would be the highly addictive chemical or substance that's found in the cigarette smoke. But what he did was he took a piece of cotton, maybe like a cotton ball, and he just blew the cigarette smoke on it, and then he looked at it under the microscope. You can start to understand why cigarettes and tobacco and even nicotine can be so damaging and so harmful to the body. It looks like the tar just literally clogs everything up. And so I was just Googling, when I say Googling, typing in on the computer, what are the effects of nicotine on the heart, for example? And in several articles, I didn't copy them off this morning. I thought to myself, that's pretty easy to remember. But yeah, it demonstrates. And so let me kind of create a scenario here. I think I've told you before that my father had a hard time giving up cigarettes. Even after his second heart attack, he still couldn't let them go. And you know as well as I do, they're so addictive. Even talking to narcotics undercover officers that, you know, dealt with some of the worst drugs of all time on the street, like heroin, even he would tell me that cigarettes are more addictive than all the drugs that they have on the street. And so, one thing I want you to consider, the more poisonous and toxic a substance is, the more addictive it is. And so, kind of frame that in your brain cells when it comes to the topic of nicotine. So what if a person's had like a heart attack, like my father, and the doctors told them, well, maybe instead of smoking cigarettes, you should vape nicotine that way. Or you should try Nicorette gum, or, you know, chewing tobacco, or Skoal dip, whatever you want to call it. Well, these studies that I read, it demonstrates it's really, really hard on the heart. And the main problem is it causes the arteries to come clogged back up all over again. Which, I mean, is that your interpretation of what you want? I know it's not, but, I mean, just consider. What if you had like a quintuple bypass, which I heard about one recently, where a gentleman had all of the five coronary arteries totally swapped out, probably a great saphenous vein, something like that. Maybe there's another technique they've come up with. But what do you do if 2 years after that, they already start getting clogged up again and they have to do the entire procedure over and over again? I mean, the human body can only take so much. Every time that you have a procedure like this, it is exhausting to the body. It literally will plow through your reserves of energy. That's why, I mean, there's just moments you've just got to put things down. And maybe that's a pack of cigarettes, or maybe that's alcohol. You can only do it for so long until you can't go any further. Besides, what would healing look like? As long as you're alive, you have hope. One of the obvious things that has come to my attention here recently is the concept that if a person takes their life, somehow this is more closely aligned with what God's wishes are. And I just, no. As long as a person's alive, they have hope. And maybe that's why a person would take their life. I completely can understand the concept that when you're completely hopeless, you decide to take your own life. But we have hope as long as you're alive. And God calls us sometimes to suffer through terrible, terrible circumstances and for us to cry out to Him so He can provide healing. And He can eventually give us relief. Doesn't the Bible say that cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you? Okay. Well, what would be a better way of taking care of the arteries of the heart? Well, here's one right here. Or the arteries in general. And of course, I know this sounds very simplistic, but you're only going to be as healthy as your arteries are healthy. Isn't the arterial system, the arteries, the veins, the capillaries, isn't this your transportation system for oxygen? Doesn't it also carry away carbon dioxide and waste? Yes. Does it carry an ocean of nutrients to your cells and your tissues and glands so they can repair themselves? Absolutely. Isn't this how your immune system gets around so it can go to the site of an infection? Or what if there's a small cancerous growth somewhere? Don't you want your immune system to be able to marshal all its defenses and organize a search and destroy party of the cancer? Yeah. So you got to have blood flow to do that. Okay. This is a study I found right here from the year 2016. And let me read it to you. Just a little bit. And so I'm proposing to you, maybe this would be a better way right here to try to keep your heart healthy or to help keep your arteries open and clear where they can transport nutrients and oxygen, all these elements of life that you need to sustain yourself. In 2016, epidemiologists at the University of Western Australia published a study involving 1,052 women, every single one of them over the age of 70. So these weren't 16-year-old women, okay? The researchers, they had scans of all the women on which they could see whether and to what extent their abdominal aorta had calcified. And so just to briefly pause, the rule of the day is this. You will calcify any location within the body that stays chronically inflamed. Does that make sense? So if you have a pinky finger that at the distal joint, you know, the very end joint before you get to the fingernail, the part that bends or is supposed to bend, if that stays chronically inflamed, irritated, swollen, what's going to happen? Your body's going to form a calcium deposit. Does that make sense? And so the same principle is true for any and every artery that you have in the body. And so all they were looking at is to see if their abdominal aorta, which is the entire blood supply for the middle to lower half of the body, had been calcified, which means we're checking to see if these 70-year-old women have a problem with the hardening of the arteries. All right, here's the main issue right here. Calcification of the abdominal aorta can reduce the supply of blood, therefore oxygen to the lower half of the body. The study participants had answered the questions about their fruit intake. The researchers then tried to find any association between the women's fruit consumption and the condition of their abdominal aorta. Here's the results right here. The researchers found no protective effect of fruit in general. Even when they looked at the specific types of fruit, they saw no protective effect from pears, bananas, and oranges. However, the researchers discovered that apple consumption reduced the risk of aortic calcification. This might actually be a good thing to make a note of right here. So while they didn't find it a great, I can tell by looking at bananas, oranges, pears, and fruit, yes, there's some benefit. But the one that had the greatest benefit by far and away was apples. And they say that with every 50 grams of apple that the women consumed daily, their risk of severe abdominal aortic calcification decreased by 24%. Now, to the best of my knowledge, you can't do that with a statin drug. It's just impossible. And so they show pictures of apples here. I know you can't see that because it's radio. But they show a small apple, 76 grams. So just every 50 grams you consume, you reduce the risk of severe abdominal aortic calcification by 24%. The researchers write that apples contain pectin. Pectin lowers cholesterol levels. Quercetin, which I would guess a lot of people have heard of quercetin, and other phenols in apples, they have the same effect. They also inhibit the oxidation of cholesterol and relax the blood vessels. You know, if you can prevent your arteries and the cholesterol from rusting out, isn't that a good thing? And if you can have arteries that are relaxed? I know some people, I'm trying not to name names here, they are completely chilled out when you take their blood pressure. It may be like 107 over 60, and their pulse rate's 57. They're just on cruise control. The researchers say, it appears there is some truth behind the 19th century promotion message, an apple a day keeps the doctors away. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Dr. Roy, this is Dave. I need to ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
What can I do to keep from waking up with a terrible, terrible pain in my leg, like it's locked up?
Oh, no. Is this like a massive Charlie horse cramp?
Right.
Oh, dear. Well, one thing that you could, can I just go down the list of things that you can do?
Yes.
And hopefully in this story you can find something that works really, really well for you. Number one, you could take the pad of your index finger. I don't think it matters left or right. It just might need to be really clean first, so wash your hands with soap and water. But if you just wet the tip end of your finger and touched a small plate of Celtic salt or Redmond sea salt, if you suck on the salt right before you go to bed, just a little bit that comes off the pad of your finger, what you may notice is you don't have cramps anymore.
Wonderful.
Another old remedy that actually works too, and this is going to be weird. If you take a bar of soap, I don't care if it's lava soap, a bar of goat milk soap, or ivory soap, or Irish Spring, if you put a bar of soap under your sheet near the leg muscle that cramps bad, it may not even cramp because of the bar of soap in your bed.
Oh, my goodness.
I know that, but I started to say a bar of soap will only cost you a dollar, but I'm probably wrong about that. They probably cost $4 now. They used to cost a dollar. The other thing, if it were me, if I had really, really bad cramps, I think I would probably try to have a small shot of grape juice with about 2 to maybe 3 teaspoons of apple cider vinegar. Or the other thing that you can do is they actually sell pickle juice at the store. You could try that also.
Yeah, some of that's still in the refrigerator left from Wanda.
Well, if you still have vinegar, it's probably good, even if it's many years old, even 5 or 6 years like you're talking about.
Yeah.
And so the other thing that you can try that would be really easy, and there's 2 or 3 ways to do this. If this is, can I just use an example and say this is your calf muscle that's cramping up? What you would do is you could either take unfiltered extra virgin olive oil, and you could just rub it and massage it into your skin about an hour before bedtime. And one of the reasons why you need to do that is just give it a chance to soak in and give it a chance for your skin to drink it up. That may prevent your cramps from even forming. The other one is castor oil. Sometimes castor oil is like the most amazing remedy to apply to a leg that cramps.
Well, that castor oil is a good thing. You mentioned something about helping your nose not to run in the morning about putting castor oil on your nose. I have been doing that religiously, and I am breathing so much better.
Oh, well, good. Well, look at that. So one thing that castor oil does, it increases the lymphatic blood flow. So, and it may be that if you rub castor oil on your legs, it may have the same effect as rubbing it outside of your sinuses or nose, where you can actually get more flow of lymphatic fluid, which is a good thing.
Yes, it is. Well, that's enough for me to work on. And
okay, good.
I certainly appreciate your help.
You're sure welcome. I hope your day goes really well.
Thank you.
Thank you for your call, sir. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There is a phone line officially open, 903-586-5257. If you'd like to call me and ask a question or make a comment, please feel free to do so. The phone line is open right now. This program is Health Essentials. My name is Roy Morgan. It is good to be with you Saturday. Even though I'd had no expectations that it might rain, but it rained a while ago. I like it, though. It's so beautiful outside when it rains. Of course, you know, come August, I might be wishing for some rain like we had this morning. Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Yes, Dr. Morgan, can you tell me what I can do about a sciatic nerve issue?
Well, it's probably pinched pretty severely by a muscle called the piriformis muscle. And what you do is you lay on your back, and you take in across your, so let's just say your sciatic nerve is really inflamed going down the left leg. Is that what it is, or is it the right one?
It's the right one.
Okay. So you just while you're laying on your back, you bend your knees, and you try to cross your right ankle over the top of your left knee like you're going to cross your leg. And then from there, you try to pull your right knee and your left knee, but the right knee needs to aim toward the right shoulder. So as you pull it up, you're not trying to cross it over. That's going to stretch more of the gluteus maximus. But if you pull it forward, that stretches the piriformis. But you're trying to relieve the entrapment or the pressure on the sciatic nerve as it travels through the piriformis muscle. That's usually where it's trapped.
Okay.
So that's one option right there. The other option is what I really wish is you had access to an inversion table. That way you could just kind of hang sort of upside down, and that would help decompress the pressure on the disc in the lower back where the sciatic nerve arises from.
Hmm. Interesting.
Does your pain become much, much worse when you lay down?
No.
Then
no,
that's encouraging then. That's a good sign. When do you have the most pain?
Sitting.
Oh, when you're sitting? That's probably more of a jam facet joint. Do you have a chiropractor that you go to?
No, I don't.
Have you ever thought about that?
No.
Okay. Well, that's one option.
It would be a good thing. Okay.
Well,
okay.
I mean, I'm just guessing right now. I haven't examined you. That is the one limitation of radio.
Okay. Yeah.
So that may be, or so if you were to go onto YouTube right now and type in, what are the best stretches for sciatic and low back pain, or pain that's worse when sitting, you could probably find very simple stretches that you could do right now over the next 2 minutes. But that would be a starting point.
Okay. And like if I ride in a car a long time, it hurts.
Yeah, that's most likely a jammed facet joint. That's what I would call it. Facet is spelled F-A-C-E-T. So, I mean, if you're going to go on a ride today somewhere, does the back pain start to sort of relieve itself the more that you walk and move around after sitting down for a long period of time?
Yes, it does.
Okay, that's a good sign. All these things are looking really, really good, so this is all fixable. I like that.
Oh, good. That's good.
You could even rub some castor oil on your back if you wanted to.
I heard you say that a while ago, so I thought, I'll try that. But I'll call in and see what you had anything else. I'll start with that.
Give it a shot.
Okay, and then the stretch. Thank you so much.
Ma'am.
I appreciate it.
You're sure welcome. Mm-hmm. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thank you, you too. Bye-bye.
There are studies that show that if a person has a ruptured or severely bulging disc, that if you're willing to take what's called glucosamine sulfate, and that can be mixed very easily with what's called chondroitin sulfate, over time, that helps reduce the bulging disc. That's really quite incredible. Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Yeah, Dr. Morgan, I was going to ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
I heard this on the radio, Christian radio, that the FDA is giving vaccines, and it's called an NRA vaccine. It's not National Rifle Association, but
it's called NRA? Oh, I lost your call. Please call me back and finish that. I know what mRNA is. That's messenger. So the phone number here at the station is 903-586-5257 if you'd like to call. I promise you, I did not push a button to cut you off. It just, we lost a signal. That's just modern cell phones for you. Okay, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, it's me again.
I didn't hang up on you, I promise.
I believe it. Hey, they're giving vaccines to the animals, like in the feedlots and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know what the vaccines got in it, but I did hear that, and I know that's true. Someone's checked it out, but we don't know what kind of vaccine it is. We thought you might get a chance to check into it.
Well, as far as I understand, this has been like a plan they've had for like a good while now. They want to add the messenger RNA vaccine to, you know, feedlot cattle. But you know what? Here's where I'm going to encourage you. Even if we don't understand all the implications of what this is and what this means, actually, let me take a sidebar just for a second. A buddy of mine sent me a video this week, and I think it was from his Twitter account. But in this, it shows a picture of a gentleman that had severe clots in his legs following this mRNA vaccine for COVID. And I'm telling you, I sent him a message back. I said, I promise you, if they showed this video to every person before they got vaccinated, nobody would get vaccinated, because basically it shows just clots pouring and oozing out of his flesh. It's just unbelievable.
Right.
But anyway, one of the things that you should do is you need to become friends with people that raise chickens for sale and have eggs that, you know, where the chickens get to run around and eat crickets and worms and grasshoppers.
Yeah. We get plenty of chicken eggs and stuff from my sister, yard raised. But
tell me again, where do you live?
We live just 10 miles east of Palestine.
So 10 miles east, what is the smallest, closest community to you other than Palestine?
Natchez, 6.5 miles.
Okay. Do you know who the Downs are over in Cayuga?
No, sir, but I have called them before, and I hope they're still selling that beef.
Those are the people you need to get to know right now.
Okay.
If you call, because what they do is they go out of their way to make sure that cows don't have any chemicals, and they do everything they can to just extremely fortify the soil, where it's so nutrient-rich that when you eat their beef, There's no chemicals, no drugs, no vaccines of the cows, and the cows are fed the most nutrient-dense diet in such an ethical way. It's just incredible. But those are the people that you need to get to know over there in your neck of the woods.
Yes, sir.
He told me though, before, there's a severe crisis, that we had a code. If I would come to the end of his driveway and wave a white flag three times to the left and four times to the right, that means I'm a good guy and I'm just going to come buy some beef liver from him.
Yes, sir.
I just made that last part up.
I just wanted to give you that information. I figured you already knew it.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, this is one of the things they wanted to do to just animals out in the wild also. Just release it from like an airborne burst of some kind. Probably have a crop duster fly over and spray it.
Well, I tell you what, they better watch it between them and the tree huggers. They might be a battle.
You know what? I hope they catch it on video.
Yes, sir. Because they're hurting the tree huggers animals too, you know.
Well,
you know why I call them tree huggers?
Well, tell me why.
Well, because they think more of God's creation. They are worshiping the creation and not the Father that made it.
Hey, is there a passage in the book of Romans, chapter 1, that might talk about that just a little bit?
Yes, sir, there is.
You know, I read the story this morning in the book of Isaiah. Hezekiah was saying their gods are only made with stone and hands and wood. Yeah. They're not even real gods.
They can't walk. They can't speak. That's right.
Well, and the thing of it is, I'm not trying to make fun of anybody. That's not it. But the big point is, when you miss acknowledging that God is our creator and acknowledging he's the one that gives us oxygen to breathe, and we get rain sometimes like this morning, and he gives us all our food, everything that we need. Do you know any human beings that can survive without oxygen or water or food?
Not very long. Well, we know there's three things that you got to have to exist: air, water, and food.
And he is the one that gives us generously all of those things.
Yes, sir.
Even when I go into the grocery store and I look around, they always are completely filled to the maximum with produce. I mean, maybe not every single time, but there might be a few things that are out. You know how things work out these days with shipping and delivery issues and maybe crop failures. But for the most part, you could go into the grocery store anytime you want. You can get all the salad you want, or carrots, or broccoli.
You ought to see our green beans, Dr. Morgan.
Wait, where are they? Do you have them right by the road there in Natchez where I can come by tonight and pick a few?
Pretty close. They're not starting blooming yet, but these climbing Kentucky Wonder green beans, Dr. Morgan, are already over 5 feet tall.
Oh, my goodness. They're tall.
Oh, yes. Best crop I've ever had. They're not blooming yet, but they're going
to
be.
Now, do you have to worry about any animals giving those grief?
No. They got to get through a 2-by-4-inch hole fence.
Oh, so you have tried to put a barrier between the mean animals trying to eat your Kentucky green beans, right?
Yes, sir. A snake can go through, and that's about it.
Well, snakes don't eat green beans, do they?
I hope not.
I still remember that time I saw that Coach Whip, or, you know, the black racer, Blue Indigo,
chase a
rat across the dam there in Frankston that time. It's just so funny.
Fast.
Oh, my word. Have you ever seen, like, a young Coach Whip just glide along the top of grass that's about 2 foot tall?
Yes, sir.
They're so fast. It's unbelievable.
And if you don't watch it, you will mistake them for a cobra.
Have you come close to seeing a cobra here in East Texas?
No, sir, but I had them chase me when I was a kid, and, you know, you see cobras on the movie, and I didn't know the difference, but I outrun them barely.
The cobra or the black racer?
The black racers.
Oh, man. Yeah, I've got a lot of black racer stories. I'm not here to talk about those today. It'd be a waste of time. But, they can fool you with how fast those guys are. It's incredible.
Man, my granddaughter had one chase her on a riding mower.
Well, she did not rent it, did she?
No. But it would stop when it got real close.
Yeah. I watched a dog chase one time, and the dog was going all out and still couldn't catch it.
Yeah. I'll let you go, Doc.
Hey, thank you very much for your call. I hope you have a great day and a great weekend.
All righty. We love you.
Love you, too. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
All right. There is officially a phone line open. I do think that if all you did today was just research the topic, what do I do to eat meat that's not contaminated with mRNA? And who knows, maybe that could be as simple as stockpiling a little bit of canned tuna. Have you ever tried yellowfin tuna that's been packed in olive oil? Or what I would call yellowfin tuna fillets? I'm telling you, it tastes good. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Yeah, Dr. Morgan, my wife has a, on her hands, her, it gets real dry and itchy, and the skin peels, and she went to a dermatologist, and they gave her some $100 cream, and I don't know, she just, they said she's going to have to, that's something they can't come up with a remedy. Have you ever heard of anything like that?
Well, did they call it eczema?
I don't remember if that's what it was or not.
Do you remember exactly which finger it is on, or between which fingers?
The whole palm of both hands.
Okay, they didn't call it psoriasis, did they?
Well she's still sleeping, so I can't ask her that question.
Well, here, go wake her up real quick and tell her Dr. Morgan wants to talk to her this early in the morning. No, I'm joking about that one. Well, okay, when I was in school, this is back in the 80s, I probably didn't do a good job of managing the pressure that I was under, and I probably gave a little bit too much credibility to all the upperclassmen telling me how there's a great chance of failure, you wouldn't make it, you'd be stuck there forever, you would never get your degree. And so they put a lot of pressure on you. I remember one semester I took 34 hours of college credits, which I would not recommend that to anybody. That's not a good idea. But I remember my hands began to peel. Now, my hands peeled a little bit because of stress. Because once I got out of the stress, I haven't had an issue since. But if her hands are peeling this bad and they're red and inflamed and it's just horrible, I've got to believe this is nothing more than her immune system attacking herself.
Okay.
And so some of the things that I would look at, I don't know if your wife really enjoys dairy products or sugar, but that would be the first guess that I would give her, is try for a short season. When I say a short season, I mean 3 to 4 weeks. Mm. Try not eating any refined sugar. If she needs something sweet, take her a bowl of fresh strawberries, something like that.
Yeah.
But dairy or wheat are probably the top things that I see that can just literally manifest as her immune system attacking her on the surface of her hands. And so there's got to be a simple, easy way through this. Unless, do you know if she's consuming any drugs of any kind?
No, just the supplements.
So she's trying to help herself with the supplements. That's a good point. Well, you know what she can do in the meantime? Okay. She could literally every night, or actually you could do this for her. Actually, you're the best husband of all time. You're calling on her behalf while she's still asleep in bed. This is your Mother's Day present to her, isn't it?
It is.
Tell her you gave her a present. It's called knowledge. You could actually start rubbing your hands for her with either unfiltered extra virgin olive oil or castor oil. And see if the amazing ability of the human body is able to heal this and get over it.
Okay.
And so the other thing is, and this is not Roy trying to be negative, but I always take red inflamed palms very, very seriously, because what that can signify is there's something that's going on internally that we need to deal with right now. Something is adversely affecting the immune system. So if her hands have been kind of peeling and inflamed for a while, is that part true?
Yes, sir.
Well, that means there's something inside the body that the doctors have missed, and that means all the topical expensive salves in the world, or ointments, or creams, or steroids, is not going to really address anything. So did you know, did they do any type of lab or blood work on her to measure her immune system or her kidneys or liver?
I'm not sure what the extent of it was, but I know they did some kind of test. I think it was with the blood.
Well, if she has, if she gives you access to that later today once she wakes up and has her wits about her, she might go onto my chart and just say, hey, take a look at my lab work. And all I want you to do is, I don't need you to understand it, but if you see something that's either low or out of range or too high, that would be a clue they found something that's gone awry. But usually with the hands, this really, really means she's got something going on inside of her body that's on the inside. So this is really not a topical thing probably, but it's still not going to hurt to try the olive oil or the castor oil. If you can, get the olive oil that's like really green or yellow that's got lots of chlorophyll. And let's see if we can heal those hands up.
I know she's been under quite a bit of stress lately. I mean, just different things.
Oh, bless her heart. But, I mean, but you get it, though, don't you? Stress is one thing that just wears the body out. It's hard on the body being stressed, isn't it?
Pretty well. They did say that they could give her some kind of high-powered shot, but it was too many side effects.
Well, that would make me really, really nervous that they're going to give a shot that has that many side effects.
Yeah, she didn't really want to do that.
My guess is they would give her like a cortisone shot to see if that helps.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what it was.
So, I mean,
stay off of dairy and sugar for a while.
Yeah, but let's just, yeah, try those things right there, but just keep this thought in the back of your mind that the problem with her hands, it's her body's way of kind of warning us and telling us that she's got something going on the inside that we need to resolve and take care of. So I'm rooting for her. If she has any further questions, just ask me some more. I'll be glad to help.
All right, Dr. Morgan, appreciate your help.
You betcha. I hope you have a really good day, sir.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks, bye. I hope I didn't talk too loud and wake her up, because I'm just joking. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. Would you tell me about how to treat neuropathy?
Where is the neuropathy located? Is it the hands or the feet or the legs or where?
It's the feet.
Okay, well, what this basically means is she's not getting enough oxygen, or if it's a man. Is it male or female? Woman, okay. They're not getting enough oxygen and blood flow to their toes, and so that's one of the problems. Now, this is real famous among people that are diabetic. I'm sure you've heard that before.
Yes.
So,
she's
like,
not diabetic, and she's not overweight.
Okay.
She does exercise.
So I'd say two or three things that we could think of here that would be really simple and to the point. Number one, there is a mineral found in nature that's called magnesium. Anytime that a person's a little bit low in magnesium, then what happens is the saturation of oxygen or the amount of oxygen that you can hold in their blood goes down. And so anytime that you get less than adequate oxygen to your toes, then the nerves start to complain. And that could be as simple as numbness, tingling, burning, pain, something like that. That's all neuropathy.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's she's experiencing some of those symptoms.
Yeah. Can I just tell you what I would do, and maybe that'll be simpler if I say it that way.
Okay.
If I had neuropathy, every night when I go to bed, I'd put castor oil on my feet and legs and cover them with a wool sock. And that's going to increase blood flow and circulation. Now, the next thing that I'm going to tell you that's going to be a little bit scary, but I'm telling you, it works. It just takes a very, very special person to consider this. Because I can tell you from doing this for a long time, most people, they blow this off just as fast as they can. But I don't know why they do. They just don't want to do it. But if she can have the wherewithal to wrap her mind around walking barefoot, whether you want to call that grounding, if you want to call that earthing. So if she has a place to walk in her yard, may have to work on it to get the grass burrs out, but if she walks barefoot, this is going to stimulate the body to start growing new arteries, new nerves, and new veins. That is incredible.
great, Dr. Morgan.
So let me tell you the next one. This is even worse than that one because most people don't like this one either. But if you took a 5-gallon clean bucket, like if you went to, I don't know, a hardware store, they even sell big 5-gallon buckets at Academy and Walmart and Home Depot. But right. If you took that and filled it up with water, and then you put ice in the water, like 3 or 4 trays of ice, you're trying to get the water down to about 45 degrees. But if she would go outside and just sit in a lawn chair or a folding, you know, outdoor chair, and just submerge both of her feet and lower legs in that bucket of water and hold it for 10 minutes, here's what's going to happen. The body's going to say, oh, my goodness, we're about to freeze to death. What do we do? Well, your body's going to, in turn, greatly increase blood flow to her toes. If she did that every day for 3 weeks, I bet you anything, she would turn to you and say, oh, my goodness, you were right. I'm healing. I'm getting better. Thank you so much. Now, there are clinics that specialize in taking care of this, and they want to use a laser to do that.
Okay.
But this is only my opinion here. If you want to spend $10,000 on a laser, that's fine. You can do that. It's your money.
No. Right. No.
well, I mean, you can, though.
Yes.
But I don't think it does because when you walk barefoot, that helps grow new brain cells also. I don't think the laser does that. And when you soak your leg in cold water, your body's going to say, oh my goodness, maybe we should start releasing chemicals to stimulate the growth of new arteries and veins and nerves. And so what you can do is you can successfully reverse all this.
Wow, that's wonderful news, Dr. Morgan.
So I would rather do this with somebody that's not a diabetic than somebody that's on the edge of a diabetic neuropathy and death. So there's always hope, right?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Dr. Morgan.
You're welcome. Yes. Thank you for your phone call today. I hope you have a really, really good weekend.
Thank you, Dr. Morgan.
All righty. Bye-bye. I tell you what, that's the one thing that I wish that we could clarify in our heads. We've got to decide what are we going to do that's going to be in our best interest to help improve ourselves that's not toxic or dangerous. Good morning and welcome to the program. How are you?
Yes, very good. Thank you for taking my call.
You betcha. Thanks.
I actually stumbled on you on the radio this morning, first time caller and listener. And
well, sure.
I really appreciate
Oh, well,
really
you're so welcome.
You. Two quick questions. Number one is I missed the other gentleman you were talking to. I'm in East Texas where you said you could get that beef where they're not injecting it with the, don't have to worry about the, is it the MN?
Yeah, the messenger RNA vaccine. I think I have,
right.
I'm trying to think. I don't have my phone in here. I think the phone number is 388-2240 or 2245. Area code 903. I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
Let me write down. I'm going to see if my brain works.
903-388-2245. What was the name of the ranch or the place?
Well, I don't know what the name of the ranch is, but his name is Down, D-O-W-N-E.
Oh, okay.
So I think the two numbers I'm thinking of, they're probably cell phone numbers. It's either 2240 or 2245.
Okay, and just Mr. Down, I heard you on the radio, and if you could get him.
I mean, whatever you do, don't tell him I sent you.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm just joking about that. But you should call him and say, hey, I hear you might have some beef that's not contaminated with drugs.
Yeah, well, my aunt had a great aunt that was into health and nutrition. I'm 66, so I've been into organic, natural vitamins and supplements.
See, she was a good influence on you, wasn't she?
Well, you know, I think she kept my Uncle Jimmy alive a lot longer when he had cancer.
Oh, boy.
With that, years and years. And I'm talking about, you know, he was a World War II vet. He's a great uncle. I'm 66, so.
Oh boy, yeah.
But I do appreciate you and what you're saying and doing with supplements and, you know, other than just drugs and vaccines.
Oh, you're so welcome. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, and you know, people, the one thing I've learned is when you do it your way, the side effects are a lot less.
Mm-hmm.
That's the idea of going natural. But I could have one quick question. My mother just turned 90,
She was perfectly fine. My father passed away a couple years ago. She's a little depressed, but she was perfectly fine. My brother's, I'm in East Texas, but they took her to the hospital. Mm-hmm. They thought she had a stroke. And, you know, what it was they said she didn't have a stroke. She had some type of urinary tract infection.
Oh, yeah.
So, but before that, she was writing her own checks, cooking her own meals. So now that somehow triggered like a dementia or Alzheimer's.
Well, there's actually research that shows that a chronic urinary tract infection will just rapidly, severely deplete your body of vitamin B12.
Okay.
So I'm saying all this after the fact. If the doctor had given her a series of B12 injections to counter the infection, because without B12, the brain starts to go in this downward spiral.
Right. If you think it was B12...
Well, that's one. That's a safe thing to bet, because is she fairly slender and trim?
Yes.
That's a sign of a B12 deficiency, because what happens is when a woman becomes low in B12, the immune system just does not respond the way that it should. I'm not trying to tell you one causes the other, but they tend to go hand in hand. So as the muscles begin to atrophy, your bottom line is the brain begins to atrophy and shrink also. So B12 may be something that could be helpful to really turn this around and kind of brighten her day.
Okay. Is there a difference between taking, like, you know, the B supplements in the pill form, or I know sometimes don't they have like B12 shots?
Yeah, and that's kind of what I'm referring to. In her situation, it might be most prudent and beneficial to just get a B12 shot. That way you bypass maybe a weakened digestive tract, you get it right into the body, and you get the most immediate effects.
Okay.
So if a doctor gave her like a B12 shot once a week, you might go, oh my goodness, my countenance is brightened. Or there's a whole bunch of spas in the East Texas area. They can easily give you a B12 shot with a nurse there at the spa anytime you want.
Yeah, you know, she's up in New York, unfortunately, and I have to go back, and I wish I could drag her down here, trust me.
The way you do that, though, is you go to the hardware store and you get chloroform. And if you pour that over a rag and sneak up behind her, you can take her anywhere you want. That's just a joke, by the way.
I know, Dr. Morgan. Anyway, listen, I'll get off the phone because I'm sure there's...
Hey, thanks a bunch, man.
I really appreciate what you're doing. I'm glad I stumbled upon you on the radio.
Well, welcome to the radio show.
Yeah, do you, I know down here, I think it's 90.3 I got you on.
Yeah, that's it.
Right. Are you cross-country? By some chance, like, you know,
no, I just think it's local, and then the people that go on the internet and pick it up.
Okay,
so that's fine.
Okay, very good. Listen, God bless you, and thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Blessings from God upon you and your mama.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye. Alrighty, bye bye. All right, if you'd like to join me on the radio, 903-586-5257 is the number if you'd like to join the program and call right in. Well, good morning, and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. Real quick, two questions. One was, I heard that I saw some sort of infomercial on vitamins to help reverse eye disease, macular degeneration.
Yeah.
You know,
well, that's are you asking me if I'm familiar with them?
Is there something that I can do to help my father get some of his eyesight back?
Yeah, and of course, I know I'm probably sound like a broken record, but the issue is he's just not getting enough oxygen nutrients through the macula of his eye, and that's what's causing blindness or loss of vision. So anything that improves that is what you want. I'm always really fond of using what's called a product called Cruciferous Complete, and all it is just kale and Brussels sprouts. But when you take a very concentrated capsule that's loaded with it, those nutrients go right to the eye. Now, the second part of the equation is this. You've got to give the other fat-soluble vitamins to the eye. So that's everything from vitamin D to vitamin A. That's one of the reasons why that if a person ate liver and onions once a week, they would get so much natural vitamin A from a natural source. So that's one option to try to restore it. Sugar is probably the most toxic thing to the eye of all time, that and stress.
Yeah.
So any time that we can handle some of these equations, you start really, really getting some good results. But increasing oxygen to the eye is a home run, so that's going to be magnesium, coenzyme Q10, an herb called ginkgo biloba. But I really like to err on the side of just the cruciferous complete by standard process.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I mean, I've tried literally everything over the last 34 years. That's the best one by far.
Okay. I appreciate that very much.
Now,
let me ask, there's a 21-year-old lady that is a friend of the family that's pregnant and was told that she has a very high percentage of going to be diabetic.
Yeah, she needs magnesium right now. So she's headed toward gestational diabetes, toxemia, preeclampsia, probably high blood pressure. So the way through this is to convince her not to eat all the starchy, refined, processed junk food grains.
Okay.
If we could find a way to give her real... So if she could eat fish and chicken and eggs, vegetables and fruit, she would not be dealing with this at all. And then, you know, as a pregnant mama, she really needs to walk every day as if her life depends on it.
Okay.
So the more she walks, the better. And that's kind of free.
It's very free.
Well, except for the tennis shoes. She might need some Air Jordans. I hear those cost $2,000 a pair.
I also think it's great for the baby, too. So.
Yeah, you're right about that. That baby is just going to be loving all the blood flow.
Absolutely.
All the oxygen.
Well, that's really all I had, Dr. Morgan. I appreciate you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for your phone call. I hope you have a great day, buddy.
You do the same. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Back in the 1960s, they had quite a few clinics in California that administered prenatal care, you know, sometimes unwed mothers, and that's what they found out, is they were all horribly low in magnesium. So give her magnesium and cod liver oil. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
You're sure welcome.
Good morning. After 102 tries, I got there.
you are one persistent woman.
You better believe it. I had my blood work I'm looking at, and everything seemed to be okay. Of course, he pointed out my cholesterol was too high. But one thing he kind of looked puzzled about was my cortisol was, it says the normal range is 4 to 22, and mine's a 3. He put a question mark there. So
there's no way you've ever had any stress in your life that's worn you out, have you? There's no stress exhaustion here.
Oh, Dr. Morgan. No. I'm keeping a 1-year-old and a 2-year-old grandbaby.
Well, if anybody needs to be strong, it needs to be you.
I know. But I'm working on that, trying to walk and do
good
things. But so he never really explained. He just said, I think he even said, I'm not sure why this would be. You know, this number, and there's a question mark.
Can I make it sound simple?
Yes, please.
Okay. When a number comes in low, like, for example, if you say the normal range of cortisol, and I'm assuming this is a morning reading on the cortisol, do you know if that's true or not?
Yes, it
okay.
is.
So if that number is 3, that means your adrenal glands are underperforming. So I don't want to make this like a deep conversation where nobody understands what it means, but if it comes in a 3, you would say that's less than ideal, wouldn't you? So under these circumstances, at the very least, why don't we just take a radical stab at just trying to feed and nourish the adrenal glands so they can do a good job of serving you? Because as a general rule, your immune system is going to follow the adrenal glands, and so can I give you a couple of 3 ideas? Or maybe 4. There is an herb that is called ashwagandha. Have you ever heard of that before?
I've taken that before.
Did you get a benefit from it that was positive? Or could you not tell?
I took it, and I probably took too much, and I was taking some other things, and it gave me some diarrhea. And so,
But it cured your constipation, right? No, I'm joking.
Yeah. But so I didn't take it anymore, but I still have it, and I know there's a lot of good benefits, even sleep.
Well, so, and that's one option you have. That you could try ginseng. Okay, you could try rhodiola. You could try one of my favorites of all time, Eleuthero. Eleuthero is not really flashy, but it consistently builds strength and stamina and energy endurance. It's just incredible. And it's pretty cheap, too. It's called Eleuthero.
I will sure give this another shot, the ashwagandha, you know, since I already have it. But I was just wondering, so the cortisol is direct correlation to stress. That means...
Yes, ma'am. What that means is your body is probably a little bit weaker than what it used to be. And I don't mean that as a slam to you, but what I would do is I would start feeding and nourishing. There's a product called Drenamin. Basically, it is pure food and nutrition for the adrenal glands. And what it does is it targets the feeding, the nourishing, and the healing, and the repair. And so guess who wins if you do that? You do, because your body can actually rise to the occasion and repair itself better. So your adrenal glands are a little bit worn down, maybe a little tired, a little weak.
I do like my coffee. Is that a problem? Should I back off?
It can be if there's too much, but if you stick with one cup of coffee a day, and it's like a great source of enjoyment and pleasure for you, that should be fine.
It is. Okay. So that's what that is. And if you have more time, one other thing here, my FSH, and I think that's a hormone. It's supposed to be 0 to 23 range. Mine's a 49.
Well, that means you're in menopause.
Well, okay, but okay. Well, I thought so, but I was wondering why on my range.
Well, it depends on the... Well, let me ask you this, and I don't mean to be overly personal, but what is your age, please?
62.
Okay, follicular stimulating hormone. You have a gland at the base of the brain or the center of the brain that's called the hypothalamus. Mm. Its responsibility is to measure all your hormones, even cortisol. As a matter of fact, cortisol goes straight to the hypothalamus first so it can be read and your body can make adjustments. But your pituitary gland is the gland that's responsible for manufacturing follicular stimulating hormone. And if that's a little bit higher than what the range is, this means your body is stressed, is telling your body, it's kind of screaming, we need more hormones to work with here. Give us what we need. So when that goes up, this is your pituitary that's sending a signal down to your ovaries like, could you get your act together and make us more of what we need? So most likely, you have what I might just generally call a female hormone imbalance. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So this means there's room to improve you.
Okay. Well, I got it now. Okay, I will work on my adrenal gland.
Yeah, give yourself some magnesium. If you need to take B vitamins, if they're made of calf liver, those are the best ones because they'll go right to the adrenal glands instantly. You know what the Indians used to do up in British Columbia when they would kill a deer or a moose? They would cut open the flank and they would immediately, if there were 40 people in the hunting party, they would cut up the adrenal glands of the moose 40 ways and everybody would eat some. That was the most valuable thing they ever ate. I'm not saying you have to do that.
Okay.
Are you a member of any Indian tribes in the area?
Actually, I've got some Indian blood in me.
Do you know what it is?
I actually don't, but my great-grandmother had long, cold black hair. She smoked a corn cob pipe. I mean, she was an Indian. I think they got her off the reservation.
I believe you totally. But it's just interesting to me. But think about eating liver once a week. That'll go a long way to giving you a tremendous nutrient density to what your adrenals and your hormones need.
Okay.
You always want to remember the liver has so much to do with helping to keep all the female hormones in balance. It really plays a tremendous role.
Okay. You mean my liver or eating liver?
Both.
Oh. Okay.
But if you eat liver, what you're doing is you're giving your liver and your adrenals all the raw nutrients they need to really function at a high level. I know this will be a shock to everyone, but Twinkies and donuts don't really provide the nutrients that the body needs to repair itself. I know it's a shock.
I know. There's a lot of room for improvement.
Well, thank you for your phone call. We're all out of time today.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you much. I hope you have a great weekend. Happy Mother's Day.